Blog Talk Radio.
You are the living word.
Awesome ruler,
awesome ruler.
overcomers. Can you look at your neighbor and say, you are an overcomer? Can you look at your other neighbor and say, you are an overcomer? And somebody say, I am an overcomer. And that's a good reason to give him praise and worship, isn't it? Hallelujah. Because you are God alone. From before time began, you are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. You are God alone. From before time began, you are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone. Let me say this. Hallelujah. You have won the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have won it all for me. Death could not hold you down. Anybody believe that? You are the reason. Hallelujah. Seated in righteousness. Two people know it. Can we sing this? Can we sing this called the anthem? Come on, one more time. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You have won the victory.
That's the reason to worship all by itself.
Hallelujah. You have won.
If that didn't get you, this will right here.
Death will not hold you down.
Hallelujah.
You are the reason.
Lord, we worship you tonight. me.
You are God.
And right now.
Oh, God.
If you're not ashamed, would you lift up your voice and sing out with us? Oh, 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 oh. I see.
My life is not my own. You are the Lord.
cause I belong to you. I belong to you. Heritage It was not until college that I had an encounter with the Lord that changed my life forever. And this is not like a story where I ran from God. I hadn't run from him. I was in love with him. And I thought I knew him. But he wanted to reveal himself in a way like I've never known. And so I'm at college.
Glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. It is so good to know you, Lord Jesus, to know you and the pardon of my sin, knowing that you are the one that paid a price for me at Calvary. Oh, my Father, my Savior, my Redeemer, and my soon-coming King, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for this moment to and bow down before you. This morning, and worship you this morning. Oh God, I honor you this morning. In Jesus' holy name. Father, I pray for the anointing to come upon this line, come upon your people this morning, and speak to us, touch us this morning in a special way. God, transform us, renew us. God, revive us this morning again. Lord, we want to be revived. Lord, as we come this morning with a heart of repentance, seeking your face and not your hand, we ask that you would touch us with your hand this morning. Lord, we come to lift up Bishop James Washington and Apostle Linda Washington as they go on appointments this morning. God, we pray that all would be well, oh God, with them. Lord, that they would have favorable reports this morning, oh God. The report of the Lord would rest upon them. Lord, give them traveling mercy. Send your angels before them and to take them safe and bring them back safe. Lord, we pray this morning for the prophetess and the apostle, Millie Jefferson. Lord, we pray for healing for her sister, for her daughter, for herself. We pray for strength that only comes from the throne room to rest upon those families, oh God. We pray for Brother Deacon Frazier and his mother, his father, Lord. We know, God, that you are doing a miracle. You are doing a miracle because you're the only one that can perform miracles. And we thank you in advance, oh God. We thank you in advance for what you have done, what you're doing, and what you will do. Oh, my Father, my Savior, my Redeemer, and my soon-coming King, I ask this morning that you will speak through me, that you will use my tongue and use my ears and my eyes of clay, and that you will allow me to see and hear that which says the Lord this morning. Let it be none of me, but all of you, God, as I decrease, you increase. Prophetess Misha, Lord, very spiritual, kind woman, loves the Lord and loves the Lord. People, we ask God that you continue to heal her. We know that she's healed already. We know that she's healed already because her body is rejecting the cancer. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you in advance for the outcome and for the overflow. In Jesus' holy name we pray. We want to go talk this morning to you about you have been in training all the time. You have been in training all the time. You know, a lot of times we try to figure out how things are working and how things will work and why they're not working and all this stuff. Now, here in the book of Exodus chapter 7, I think it is, Exodus chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to talk about Moses and Joshua this morning. And we know that Moses had to go away, leave Egypt. he leaves Egypt and go into Media. He ran away because he had killed an Egyptian for one of the that was abusing the Israelites. And Moses left and went into Midian, where he met Jethro and Jethro's daughters, where he married one of the girls. Now here in this book, the Lord began to speak to Moses. Moses went into Midian. Why did he went into Midian? He went in there because he had to be trained. He had to be trained and he had to be humble. God had to humble him from who he was that he could become who he needed to be. I'm just paraphrasing a little bit here. If you go back and read early chapter 2 and come on into chapter 3, you will see how God is speaking to Moses. And you will see all the trouble in chapter 1 with Moses and all this stuff and so on. But you see that how God will use you. But God, you have to allow God to train you before God can use you. A lot of us, long we go and we get a PhD or some doctorate degree and we can get on Facebook and hold it in our arms and let the people see that we got a doctorate degree. You know what I'm saying? So we puffed up. Now I got a doctorate degree. You don't have a doctorate degree. You may be a minister. You may be a deacon. You may be an usher. But you don't have a doctorate degree. That's what you're telling the people. You're boasting of your degree. But Moses was already anointed and appointed by God, because God don't just call you yesterday and anoint you and appoint you. He anoints you and appoints you before you even been called out by the man of God or woman of God. You know, when God told Jeremiah, I knew you before you was in your mother's womb. He said, I appointed you a prophet while you was in the womb. Hallelujah. So Moses had to leave after he killed that Egyptian. And you know that because the same people that he was trying to protect come against him and say, you want to do to us just like you do? Because he thought nobody see him. He thought he had killed that Egyptian in secret. But it was seen some Israelites that saw what he had done. And when they told Moses that he, do you want to do us like you do that Egyptian. They wouldn't praise in Moses for protecting the Jewish guy from the Egyptian. They tell Moses, now do you want to kill us like you do to us like you do to that the Egyptian? And Moses was scared that the word would get to Pharaoh and that they would kill him. So Moses ran, left, and went into Midian. Now this is where we get to this place here. God come to Moses in chapter 3 of Exodus. And we're talking about you have to be in training all the time. You have to be in training all the time. In other words, you got to be at a place where that you can be taught. Some people think that they got too much knowledge. They got so much knowledge, they don't need to hear from anybody. They act like they're the encyclopedia. They're the dictionary. They got so much wisdom and so much knowledge, they don't need to. I've met pastors like that. You know, they're smart, they're intelligent, but they're not the most intelligent. God is. And God can still teach you, teach us something to a fool. Hallelujah. So here in this book of Exodus, chapter 3, let's go to the Logos Bible and let's work there for a little bit. Exodus, chapter 3. Where is this book doing this? Glory to God. Father, we just thank you. We ask, oh God, as we bring our hearts this morning late at the foot of the altar with the mindset of repentance, oh God, that you would heal our body, that you would heal our hearts, that you would heal our minds this morning. God, our desire is to be more like you, Jesus. We ask, Father, that you speak to us this morning and speak through us. Hallelujah. here, let's start at verse 1, verse 1 of this book, and let's go down to, hallelujah, Jesus, let's go down to about 17, or how the Lord leads us. Jesus, have mercy. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You give me 22, so let's go there. It says, and Moses was a shepherd with the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side or backside of the desert. And he came to the mountain of God, to Horeb. And the angel of Yahweh appeared to him in a flame of the fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and there was the bush burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, let me turn aside and see this great sight. Why does the bush not burn up? And Yahweh saw that he turned aside to see, and God called to him from the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, you must not come near to here. Take off your sandals from off your feet, because the place on which you are standing is holy ground. You know, sometimes we, as leaders, ministers of the gospel, we think we can run in and go in and do this and do that anytime we choose to. But God gives us instructions when to and when not to. God gives us instructions. And we must follow the instructions of the Lord God Almighty. Moses was excited when he saw. He was also amazed. And he was afraid at the same time. He was excited and he was afraid at the same time. Because this bush is burning, but it's not being consumed. I mean, it's like you start a fire, you put new sticks and new wood on the fire. But the fire is burning bright and clear, but the wood is not burning up. It's not diminishing. The wood is still look like when you first put it in the fire. So that's how the bush looked to Moses. So Moses was getting ready to get closer to really examine the bush. We're talking about you have to be in training all the time. That's the message today. You have to be in training all the time, or you have to have a mindset of want to increase. You don't want to be stagnated. You don't want to be stuck on stupid. You don't want to be stuck doing the same thing over and over. You want to improve. You want to grow with more wisdom. So God told Moses, he told Moses not to come near. The God of all creation is talking to Moses and instruct Moses not to come any closer. Can you imagine how Moses must be thinking at that particular time? Because he's seeing this fire, this great flame, and he can't go any closer. The black man want to get closer. We always want to know more. We don't want just enough. We want more than enough. You can't tell me about it. I want to see it for myself. You know, I want to see it for myself. You understand? So, let's get back into the word. Hallelujah, Jesus. He says here to him, take off thy sandals off thy feet, for the ground where thou standest is holy. You standing on holy ground, Moses. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 6. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid of looking at God. I want you to hear me this morning. About 40 years after Moses settled down in Midian, you'll see the scripture in Acts chapter 7, verse 23 and verse 30. The angel of Yahweh, or the angel of God, appears to him in a burning bush and calls him to return to Egypt. Now, you know that after he has this Egyptian, he ran out, as I told you earlier in the message, he ran out to Midian, where he met Jethro's daughters taking care of the sheep. And he helped them out. They introduced him, took him home, and introduced him to their father. He ended up marrying one of Jethro's daughters. Okay. Now, God come to Moses and spoke to Moses and give him instructions now to go back to Egypt, the very place that he's running from. You know, a lot of times we don't want to go back, but God will take you back because your testimony that God has given you is to help someone else. God brought you out of the whorehouse, out of the crack house, out of stealing, out of lying, out of fornication. You probably was a prostitute. You probably was a homosexual or lesbian. You probably was stealing, gang banging, selling dope. And God now will take you back to the dope dealers, to the users, and he will take you back so you can not only tell your testimony, but you can show your testimony. You can show yourself what God has done and what God is doing for you so that somebody can see that there truly is a God that lives and reigns forevermore. There's a sovereign God. God will take you back. Well, he instructed Moses. He's instructing Moses to go back to Egypt. Called Moses. The west of the Hebrew word used here is Ikar, meaning back or behind. Directional observation in the Old Testament are made from an eastward orientation, so the direction to the back is west. To Hori, the name Hori might be a synonym for Sinai. Or since the word means desolate or dry, it could describe the arid region in which Mount Sinai was located. The mountain of God, the location of Mount Sinai, is not precisely identified in the Old Testament. Horeb was either located on the east side of the Gulf located on the east side Agapra, or the west side of the Gulf, just south of Cana. In other biblical texts, Mount Horeb or Sinai is located in close southern proximity of Cana. Habakkuk 3:3, Deuteronomy 33:2, Judges 5, verse 4:5. Now, let's get back into the solid intent. Let's go a little further. The angel of Yahweh, either an embodiment of Yahweh himself or an angelic representative of Yahweh, this particular angel appears approximately throughout Genesis. In Genesis 16 and verse 7 to 11, Genesis 21, verse 17, Genesis 22, verse 11 to 15, Genesis 24, verse 7, verse 40, and Genesis and verse 28, and Genesis 31 and 11. While the angel of Yahweh is distinguished from Yahweh, the text often blurs or fuses their identities. Genesis 48, verse 15 to 16, Exodus 23, verse 20 to 23. Judges 2, verse 1 to 3. Moses' encounter involves the angel of Yahweh and God himself, identified in Hebrew by the name Yahweh and Elohim. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. On the angel of Yahweh, Genesis 16, verse 7. And Genesis 48 and 16. Now, the Old Testament theophanies. Fire is frequently associated with divine presence and divine encounters, both in the Old Testament and other ancient Near Eastern religions. Genesis 15 and 17, Exodus 24 and 17, Ezekiel 1 and 27. The fire motive of divine presence, a bush. The Hebrew word used here, Sinai, occurs elsewhere only in Deuteronomy 33 and 16. It is likely a wordplay on the term Sinai. Chapter 3 and verse 5. Moses, God called out to Moses. At various points in the Old Testament, a repeated personal name is used to signal a divine encounter. Remember, in the New Testament, God called out for Saul, Paul, and he called his name out two times when his encounter with Saul or Paul on the way to Damascus. Now, here we've seen, and we're talking about, this morning we're talking about this, that you have to be in training all the time. You have to be in training all the time. You can't get to a place where you feel like you know enough and you don't need to know anymore. You know, thank you, Brother Deacon. A lot of people sometimes get to that place. They figure that once they have got the doctorate degree and they're making the big money, that they don't need to know anymore. But as long as you're living, as long as you're alive, you will always be in a position to know more or get more greater understanding. I'm telling you that I'm turning 72 this year. And it seems like I am learning more. I'm learning more about God than I ever understood in my early life. He is revealing more things to me now than when I first began. The old ask, I'm saying, why couldn't I know all this stuff when I was much younger? Why couldn't he tell me all this when I was much younger? But maybe if I knew this stuff when I was 21 years old, 16 or 17 years old, I wouldn't be able to handle it. But God's revealing the things to me now, because at the point that I'm at, I am able to handle it, deal with it, and understand what he's saying. But back then, I probably wouldn't understand what he's saying now. You know, here he says, they give Moses an encounter. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 11, Genesis 46 and 2, 1 Samuel 3 and 10. Holy ground. God talks about holy ground. In Joshua chapter 3, Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. The idea of physical ground being sanctified or made holy by divine presence is not unique to Israel. It follows from the ancient Near Eastern belief that a mountain was a divine abode or the location from which God or the gods rule. It is also linked to broader concepts such as holiness and cosmic geography. Genesis 11, verse 1 to 9. Deuteronomy 32, verse 8 to 9. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19 to 20. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 17 to 19. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8 to 9. The Old Testament worldview. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. And verse 7. And Yahweh said, God said, he's talking to Moses, Surely I have seen the misery of my people, or the afflictions of my people who are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry of distress because of the oppressors. For I know their suffering. God knows what you're dealing with. You might be dealing with some stuff today. You say, well, why am I'm serving God, and why do I have to go through all this? Why is all this pain? Why is all this suffering? God knows you're going through that stuff. Just wait. Just wait on it. We need to get to a place of repentance. You want healing in your body. You want healing in your mind, healing in your spirit. You want finances to be healed so you can get more. Repent. Ask God to forgive you. Sometimes unforgiven sin will keep you in bonds, keep us in bondage so we can't move forward. Hallelujah. God said he heard the cries of the people, his people. And he sees the oppression. I have come down to deliver them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from this land to a good land and wide land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now look, the cry of distress of the Israelites. God is telling Moses that all this stuff is happening to his people, and he's not going to stand aside and see his people, who he paid the ultimate price for. He called them his people. You have become the people of God. We have become the people of God as Gentiles through the blood of Jesus Christ, when we call upon him in repentance and we turn from our sin and turn to him. We become his people, his children. And God see what these people are doing to us, with all of these drugs and all of these viruses that they're doing to us, trying to control population. God sees and God hears, and he sees what Facebook is doing, what Twitter's doing, what Instagram is doing, what Periscope is doing, controlling what the information that people can't get, the good news, they can't hear the gospel, you know. And watch and see, you're going to see that a lot of these billionaires and millionaires going to start dropping down dead, and all the money that they have is not going to be able to save them. Do you see what happened to the fellow from Apple, Steve Jobs? He was a billionaire. Cancer took over his body and took him out of here quick. He went out of here. And all the money he had and all the power he had, somebody coming, ruling and running Apple now. You understand? Glory to God. These folks are wicked. Now, for me, on the website, every day I check. When I make a post, I download something from YouTube and I post it for people to get understanding. Facebook leaders go right to my page and they say it's not true. They say it's not true. They're claiming that proof check it, or what you call it. Fact check it. So they make it look like a lie when so many people are saying the same thing, but they think that because they're running the website that they can make it, they can put a spin on it that is not true. Just like they did with all the elections and all the stuff. Watch this. God is speaking to us. He told Moses in verse 6, the God of your fathers, in Exodus chapter 3, he said, Exodus uses the epithet with the singular father. Only here, Genesis used it 5 times, but Exodus and Deuteronomy prefers the God of your fathers, plural. Here and Exodus chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, we're going to get there in a minute, the reference to God encompass the three patriarchs of Genesis 12 to 50. The link there, covenant protector, God himself, to all of Israel. He said, because of their oppressors, God come down. Because, you see, how long has African people been oppressed? Over 400 years. How long is they going to continue to be oppressed by these wicked Europeans? How long will God sit back and see them being oppressed? Time is coming to an end. Time is coming to an end. That all the money they have and all the fine stuff that they have and all the riches and materialistic things that they have is not going to have any value to them, because God's going to shut down. God's going to shut down shop. God's going to shut down shop. I'm using that analogy. God's going to shut down shop, and they're not going to be able to move and go. Now, I saw this guy, a billionaire guy, who was on, I don't know if you all saw it on 60 Minutes yesterday. The 60 Minutes. I think it was 60 Minutes. Yeah. But anyway, I think it was on 60 Minutes, or maybe I saw it on another page. But he made his own rockets, his own spaceship, and he went up 50 miles or 75 miles above the earth. But he was where? At the borderline of stepping into the new dimension of space. And they say that next year or the year after that, they're going to start, I think they said next year, they're going to start making flights with billionaire people. Millionaire people going to be here to buy a ticket to go to space, go into space. It's amazing. It's amazing. There are people think that they can go and be like God, you know. They can go into the heavenly realm, into the heavenly realm, pushing God. What are you see going to happen, people? I may be here, I may not be here. God said, I know their sufferings, okay? In chapter 2 of Exodus, verse 23 to 24. Verse 8 of this text in chapter 3 of Exodus, he says, he's taking them to a place. When God takes you from where you are, from the place of persecution and abuse, God always takes you to someplace better. When God moved me from the crack house, he took me to a better place. It may not look like much to you. I went from the crack house to the Salvation Army. I was in Salvation Army for 11 months. For 11 months. You hear me? And I cherished that place. I was eating good food. I had good night rest. I was sleeping in a room with a bunch of men. Had my own bed. But it was a better place than where I was in the crack house. You understand? When God removed you from where you are, he always takes you to a better place. Don't complain. That's why where you are, you in the wilderness, while you're in the wilderness on the backside of the mountain, praise God and thank God. Say, Lord, I know you're going to move me from here. I'm not going to be homeless all the time. I'm not going to be hungry all the time. Lord, I know you're going to supply food for me. I'm not going to be broke all the time. Lord, I know that you're going to put money in my bank account. You're going to cause people to give. Now, so far, I raised $240 for Africa. You know, the money going to be cleared on Tuesday or Wednesday. And when the money clear, I'm going to send money to Ghana so they can start buying beds. But I want to raise more money. $250 is not enough. It's not enough for among the people that we know that know God, and they're coming on Blog Talk Radio, and they're going on Facebook. They're saying they're out on Facebook. I got close to 3,000 members. I don't receive no new friends. I could have had 5,000 or 10,000 like some people got two pages. They got two pages. They got 5,000 on each page. You know, I could have had that, no, but I don't receive any new friends. I don't need so many people I don't know to be, I don't know them, and just accept friendship because you want to build a big, a great portfolio that you know you've got all these friends. I don't need that stuff. I got a little over 2,000 people. Everybody give $5. Do you know we'll be able to take care of those kids in Africa and that part of Africa that we are working with right now in Ghana? Maybe we'll take care of all of them. But people that they say, well, I'm not going to give to him. No, you're not giving to me. You're giving to God's children. Because guess what? I got some. I just had a lady that owed me some money, a few thousand dollars. Just sent me a text message. And she told me that the meters were already installed. So I can go and finish the job maybe when I get back from Louisiana. The Lord bring me back here safe. Or I can start. I'll finish it before I go. However I feel and get my money. God will take care of me. I ain't trying to raise no money on Facebook for myself. When I call for money, I call to help the people of God. God says he hears the cries of the people, the cries of the distress of the Israelites, and he come down to deliver them. Now here in verse 12, and he said, because I am with you. Now let's go back into verse 10. Verse 9. And now look, the cry of distress of the Israelites has come to me. And also I see the oppressions with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. And now come, and I will send you to Pharaoh, and you must bring my people, the Israelites, out from Egypt. Now remember, Moses left Egypt because he killed an Egyptian for an Israelite that was fighting on an Israelite and beating him up. And the Israelites saw, some Israelites saw Moses kill the bird and bury him in the sand. And when an Israelite was fussing with Moses, and Moses the bucket, he said, well, you're going to, you want to do it like you did the Egyptian. And Moses run out of Egypt because he afraid they were going to tell Pharaoh, the Mexican, Jews would get to Pharaoh and he might lose his life, or even be put in a dungeon or lose his life. So Moses went out to meet him, and we share you that before. But some new people coming on the line, so we share that before. And we are in Exodus chapter 3, okay? And we're talking about you have been in training all the time. Moses had to leave and go to Midian, as I told you earlier in the message, to be trained to become the pastor that he became, the prophet that he became. He had to be trained. So when he went out to media and meet Jethro's daughters at the watering hole with the sheep, and he had them got the water to feed the sheep, they took him home to their father, Jethro, and he started taking care of the sheep as a shepherd. So now he's in training. And as I said, you have to be in training all the time. We have to have a mindset that, yes, I am being taught all the time. I got people come on the line. When I remember when Pastor Stewart was here a lot, and when I had opportunity to go on the line with them, I was in training. I'm learning stuff from them, and hopefully they learn something from me. But we got to be in training all the time. We're learning from each other. We're helping one to another. All of us. But if you think that you're so great and you can sing and you can dance and you can play the keyboard and all that stuff that you don't need nobody, you're in a bad shit. You're in a bad place. But God is sending him back to Egypt, the very Egypt that he ran from. Can you imagine Moses said, Lord, I just leave Egypt and I'm over here. I'm doing good. I got a wife and my father-in-law, my sister-in-law, and all of them, they love me. Why are you going to send me back to Egypt? Now, by this time, Pharaoh already know that I've killed an Egyptian. And if I go back into Egypt, they're going to kill me. You can see, you can imagine all this stuff going through Moses' mind. Because remember, he killed an Egyptian and he buried him in the sand. Egyptian that was trying to kill an Israelite. He said, because I am with you. Moses said to him, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out from Egypt? Now remember, the supreme God, the sovereign God, is sending him into Egypt. Now Moses know that this is God. He had an encounter with a burning bush. God spoke to him out of the bush. Go back and read the scripture. And now he said to God, who am I? Like he questioning God, do you have the right to, you don't have the right to send him back to Pharaoh? God answered him. And he said, because I am with you, and this will be the sign for you that I myself have sent you. When you bring the people of out from Egypt, you will serve God on this mountain. The very mountain that you meet me on, that we you had an encounter with me on. God is telling this, saying this to Moses. This is where you're going to come back. You're going to serve me right here with the people of Israel, right on this mountain, on my holy mountain. You know, I never thought about that. As I was reading this morning, they're talking about the mountain is always considered a place where the presence of the Lord would be. And I remember that when I was much younger in ministry, that we would go away, and we should be going on a sabbatical, and we would go away to spend time with the Lord and with each other, where we can. The cell phone don't work, and the TV don't work, and all that stuff. And we would go into up to the mountain. We go up to the mountain. And on the mountain, we would hear from God. People would hear. And this is where God requires for his people to meet him. On the mountain. Let me tell you, we pray to God. Moses is being called by God, and Moses being sent back to Egypt to go to Pharaoh. But we know that God is not going to allow Pharaoh to release the people right away, because God must show himself as he is mighty. He must show himself as the great supreme warrior. So when Pharaoh does release the people, they're not coming out, because Pharaoh is going to just release them like that. They're going to be forced to release him. So here, verse 13 says, but Moses said to God, look, if I go to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your ancestors have sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? Then what shall I say to them? Moses saying, no. And they ask me who you are. What is your name? What should I say? Moses asking God this question. What should I say? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, so you must say to the Israelites, I am sent me to you. And God said again to Moses, so you must say to the Israelites, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And this is my remembrance from generation to generation. Go and gather the elders of Israel and say to them, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, appeared to me, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I have carefully attended to you and what has been done to you in Egypt. And I said, I will bring you up from the misery of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice, and you will go, and the elders of Egypt, Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you will say to him, Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us, and now let us please go on a journey for 3 days into the wilderness. Hallelujah. Into the wilderness or the desert, and let us sacrifice to Yahweh our God. But I myself know that the king of Egypt will not allow you to go unless compelled by a strong hand. And I will stretch out my hand, and I will strike Egypt with all of my wonders that I will do in its midst. And afterward, he will release you. And I will give the people favor in the eyes of the Egyptian. And then when you go, you will not go empty-handed. And a woman will ask from her neighbor and from her and from the woman dwelling as an alien in her house for objects of silver, of objects of gold and garments, and you will put them on your sons and on your daughters, and you will plunder Egypt. God says this. When you come out of your distress, you will come out strong, stronger than when you went in. You will have more than enough that you carry in, more than what you carry in. Now, let's go to Joshua. Well, let's work this a little bit here first, and then go back. I like to work it. Let's go into the Logos and work it a little bit. Let's start at first, verse 7. Let's start at verse 7 in Logos. Verse 12. Let me start at verse 12. And he talks about signs for you. The relationship between these two statements is grammatically unclear, making interpretation difficult. It seems odd that God would give a reassuring sign to Moses only after he left Egypt. However, he may be referring to the burning bush, meaning that the encounter at the burning bush, or the miracle of the bush itself, was the sign given to Moses that God would be with him. In verse 13, Moses questioned God, and God began to speak back to Moses, give Moses the answers that he needed to reassure him. What is his name? Moses wanted to know. It is unlikely that the Israelites do not know the name of God, of the God they worship, or that they were ignorant of the names used by their ancestors for God. For an example, in Exodus 6 and 3 demonstrates that the Israelites knew of the name El Shaddai, since divine names and place names associated with divine appearance often reveal events in the patriotic stories. Genesis 14, verse 9 to 20. Genesis 16, verse 13 to 14. Genesis 32, verse 30 and 31. This question is the equivalent of asking what new thing God revealed. Verse 14, I am. God says, I am that I am. The revelation of the personal name of God, Israel, Creator, Exodus chapter 3 and 15. In Hebrew, the phrase I am is Ehi. A difficult spelling from Yahweh. The relationship between Ehi and Yahweh, called the Tetragrammaton, is not entirely clear, but both involve the consonants Y and H. In the same order, Yahweh is used throughout this passage, indicating that both are names for the God of Israel. In verse 4, verse 17, verse 15, and verse 6. Verse 4, verse 7, verse 15, and 16. It seems that the spelling of Yahweh recalls the revelation here. The names of God in the Old Testament. This is my name forever. The name God revealed to Moses is the name by which he wishes to be known in Israel. It marks him as the divine creator of the nation. The elders of Israel, since these elders already exist, they are not the judges Moses installed at the behest of Jethro, chapter 18, or priests. The priesthood was created after the Exodus, chapter 28 to 30. These are Israel tribal leaders in chapter 4, verse 29, chapter 12, verse 21, chapter 18, verse 12, chapter 24, verse 1. Numbers, chapter 11, verse 16 and 25. Here, the Hebrews in Genesis, chapter 14 and 13. Let us sacrifice. Moses talking to Pharaoh and his officers that Pharaoh should allow the Israelites to leave to go 3 days and worship and sacrifice to their God, to the great I am. The Egyptians sometimes allowed slave laborers to participate in worship on holidays. This request and Pharaoh's refusal to grant it may have been included to emphasize Pharaoh's cruelty and stubbornness. God told him, he knew that Pharaoh, because God was orchestrating it, that Pharaoh would not allow them to go except with a strong hand. And this strong hand would be the strong hand of the great I am. The Hebrew word for hand, yad, is often used metaphorically for power. Exodus chapter 3, verse 8 and verse 20. The story will soon reveal who has the greater power. See, there will be a showdown between Moses and Pharaoh magicians. Because Pharaoh really didn't do too much. He had to sit back and watch his officers, you can call them, do what they do best. And that is work that satanic, their satanic gift. But Moses operated under the power of the sovereign God, the mighty God, the holy God of heaven. All of my wonders, Pharaoh, will relent only after God has done a series of mighty acts. Moses and Aaron stand in the office representing God. You will plunder Egypt. See, they will get more, as I said, more than the chariot to Egypt to come up with. They were slaves, and they were slaves without a salary. All they get was bread and water. They didn't have a chance to eat the fine cakes and the lamb, the roast lamb and stuff that they had, fearing all of his officers eat, and had the grapes and the wine and all that stuff, but the Israelites drank. They drank water and eat bread. Sometimes in training, you have to go through a lot of stuff. Joshua was with Moses, and he never questioned Moses. He was with Moses, following Moses, wherever Moses, whatever Moses wanted done, he did. Because why? He was always in training. And that's what we're talking about. Most folk don't want to stay in training. Even when you get to a place that the pastor, the bishop, the leader, the apostle call you out and say, well, look, we'll let you preach this Sunday. And once you get to preach this Sunday, now you feel that you're better than the apostle, you're better than the bishop, you're better than the pastor. You're better than your leader. So now you're going to start pushing up your chest. You will talk behind his back, behind her back, that you are all that. You're better than them. Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1 to 18. Let's go there. Joshua was promoted, was elevated from the position that he had as a minister to Moses. And minister don't mean that he was preaching to Moses. It just means that whatever Moses wanted done, he assisted Moses, he did for Moses as his leader. And he was comfortable. Joshua was comfortable being in the number one, number two spotlight. He wasn't getting around and said, well, how long do I have to keep following Moses around? How long do I have to keep bringing water? How long do I have to keep bringing bread? How long do I have to keep getting, make sure that Moses has what he needs? He wasn't complaining. There's no place in the Bible that you can see Moses, that Joshua was complaining about what he had to do for Moses. He is the kind of follower that every pastor, every prophet, every apostle, every leader wants to have. That's the kind of follower you want. That's the kind of helper that you want. That kind of assistant that you want. That when you say go, go, he go. The centurion in the book of Luke said the same thing. Said to Jesus, I'm a man of authority, and I have people under me, and I'm a man under authority. He understands to be under authority and to have authority. Joshua knew this. See, you have been in training all the time. Before you get to the place that God wants to take you, you're in training. And then when you get there, you're still in training because God is still training us. He's still training us. We have not arrived yet. But we begin in training and we end in training. You don't stop training. He says, verse 1 says, now after the death of Moses, and Moses crossed over. God buried Moses. God was Moses' undertaker. No one but God know where Moses was buried or is buried. So, see, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the brother, the children of, even unto the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread on, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. See, the Lord, he is a God that keeps his word. If he spoke it, he keep it. This is the God that we serve. You can trust him. You can depend on him. And you can rely on him. This is the God that we serve. Hallelujah. He told Moses that. Moses wasn't able to go into this land flowing with milk and honey. But Joshua is going into the land. He's taking the children into the land flowing with milk and honey. You understand? Why did he get to do that? Because of his obedience to God's servant. You understand? He was obedient to God's servant. And when you are obedient to God's servant, you're obedient to God. Because the servant honor his master. He honor his boss. You understand? So now Joshua get the opportunity. I'm taking my time with this. I'm not pushing this stuff and hooping and hollering. Hey, Joshua was obedient to Moses in every way. God could have chose anybody. But God sees. He sits high and he sees low. He sees everything that we say and do. If you are not willing to follow, God is not going to put you in a position to lead. Hallelujah. If you're not willing to follow, he's not going to put you in a position to lead. Now the Bible says, he said, from the willingness and this Lebanon, even unto the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your course. Oh, he said, look. Now you can imagine Joshua looking, he can see. As far as he can see, God saying he's given it to Joshua's hand. Because of his faithfulness to his servant Moses. No, he said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. He said, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now, not only does Joshua has this responsibility to lead them, but now he got to divide the land, the inheritance that God has given to their fathers for them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest be that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. No. He's telling Joshua. Now you got to follow this, the law. The words that I have given to Moses and Moses given to you, you got to follow to the letter. You can't deviate in any way that you feel like. Even if the people are murmuring, like they're murmuring against Moses and Aaron, even if they're murmuring and complaining and want this or want that, you don't move. You just stay on the word. You follow the blueprint. You follow the GPS that I'm giving you. This is what you go by. And if you do this, you're going to prosper. This is what he said to Joshua. See, Joshua was in training with Moses, and he's still in training. This is why God gave me this topic last night. You have been in training all the time. So because you're in training, I can elevate you. I can promote you. And then I give you more training. Now God has given more training. Understand? Now he says, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. See, once this word of God that we meditate, we got to go on this word, we got to study this word every day. Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. You know, I got some work to do. But Apostle Washington, they have work going on in their house, working on this thing and that thing. And Bishop James have to go to have some tests done. And, you know, they're doing stuff. So, you know, when I'm working, they hold on the line. Probably Smiley, her sister's in the hospital with cancer. You know, thank God that she's doing better. Prophetess Misha, she had lung cancer. Thank God the doctor said that she is overcoming the cancer. The cancer dissolved. We praising God for this stuff, but we still got to come on and listen and hear and speak the word. This is what we got to do. This is how we have victory. He said you got to meditate day in on that word. Day and night. In other words, he said, you got to get this word in you. You got to get the word in you, and you got to get in the word. You got to study day and night. Go over and over and over every chance you get. Don't run off to the park and go to the picnic like Yogi Bear and Boo Boo. Don't go to the picnic. You got to, if you go to the picnic, take your little New Testament, Old Testament, take the book with you so you can study the word. While people are smoking marijuana, go off by yourself and go on the shit. Take your hamburger, your hot dogs, or whatever you like to eat in the summertime from the cookout and go in a little space quiet by yourself and study, meditate on the word, study the word of God so you can be successful, so you can be prosperous. And this success is not necessarily talking about having gold and silver and having Rolex watches and stuff like that. But when you get the peace of God inside your heart, you are successful. When you get the joy of the Lord in your heart, you are successful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let me give you a few more verses here, and then we'll get rid of here. My baby just come home from working her couple of hours. This is
Amen.
He said, have not I commanded thee? Thank you, Deacon. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. You see, the Lord wants you to stand. He wants us to stand strong no matter where we are going. Why does he want us to stay strong? you may be going by yourself, but while you're going by yourself, he said, don't be afraid. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. But be courageous. He wants you to have courage, knowing that you're not by yourself, because he told you early in the message, he said, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. I'm not going to fail you. I'm going to be there with you. And all that you're facing, you're on the hospital bed, and the doctor said, you got cancer. Yeah, yeah. Doctors say you got cancer. Oh, you got the real estate office or the bank. People come down and say, well, look, you haven't paid your rent for six, pay your mortgage for 6 months. And they put a thing on your door that you, an eviction notice that they are repossessing the home. Well, you got to trust God. You got to be faithful. You got to have, you have to be courageous and say, Lord, yes, I understand that they got the house up for foreclosure. But Lord, before the day of foreclosure, I know you are able to make a way for me to get the money to pay all my back, all the arrears. God will. God will. God will. God will. And then if you lose the house, don't cry over the house. Trees are still growing. They still have cement in the mountains. There's still cement in the mountains. You can get a new house. You can get a new car. All the stuff that you lost, you can replace. But God said he want you to stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Meditate on it day and night. Then he went on to continue to talk to Joshua. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, get your food and everything together. For within 3 days, you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, and all the mighty men of valor, and keep them until the Lord hath given you your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they shall have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then you shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan towards the sun rising. Oh my God. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as you heart, we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that thou doth rebel against thy commandments and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Man, God said, look, God said to Joshua, everything that I said to Moses, I will do. And only the people have to obey the very words that I spoke to Moses, that I'm speaking, that Moses spoke to you, they have to obey. And if they fail to obey, they will be put to death. This is what God is saying. We have to get to this place that we know that we are in training. What the man of God is saying to you, what the woman of God is saying to you, check the Bible, just like the Berean church in the book of Acts. Find the Bible, check it out, and see if the man of God is saying what God is saying, if it's in the book. You may have a different version of the Bible than I have. I read a lot of different Bibles. But it's pointing to the same God. And if you're not hearing what God is saying, well, you got to go somewhere else. Joshua is saying the exact words that Moses said, that God said to Moses. He's saying to the people. And God is saying, look, no. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. He said, I never failed Moses. I never failed him, and I'm not going to fail you. He said, just be strong and be courageous. In other words, when you come against the enemy, don't you quiver. Don't you fold up and say, well, how am I going to? You know, we do that. When things don't look like we can make it, we say, man, I can't do this. I'm giving up on this. No, God should be strong. The doctor said you don't feel good today, that you're not, your body not doing well. You got to say, well, I hear what you said, doctor, but I believe in the word of the Lord. I'm going to overcome this. I was watching a show, and my wife, he had there, and this young man was in the hospital. He was a young athlete, and he got hit, and he's crippled, he had to go through all this rehab. And the doctor said to him, he would never be able to play football again. You know, he's a young athlete. He's not in the NFL yet. And the doctor told him he would never be able to play football again. And his mother said, well, you know, my son is very, her son, he don't give up that easy. You know, he's very consistent and persistent in what he's doing. And he would go to therapy 2 or 3 times a week. And sometimes the therapist would tell him, do you want to sit down and take a break? He said, no, I want to keep on going. I want to keep on going. And he would push himself. And he said in a short time, a few months, he was going home, and he was walking. They wouldn't wheel him into a car. Well, you know, they always wheel you out the hospital anyway. But when he get to the sidewalk, he'd get up and walk to the car and get in the car because he was consistent. He was persistent in what he wanted to achieve. We can't give up because we got a bad report from the doctor, because you get a bad report from the bank. Well, they're going to take my house. I can't pay this bill. They're going to take my car. I can't pay. No, it could be the last second before the bill is due, and God will show up for you if you be faithful. If you be faithful with a little, he'll make you ruler over much. What are you faithful with? Glory to God. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. I believe Apostle Washington will be on tomorrow. Hopefully, all the work that they're doing in the house will be finished today. You know, a lot of stuff they're doing, a lot of stuff they had, stuff that was giving problems that had to be replaced. So, and we pray that today that when Pastor Bishop James come back from the doctor, that he will have a absolute favorable report. Glory to God. That's all I got to say. But we thank God for this word. We praise God for this word. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't just pray this quick prayer. This is a good day for you to receive the gift of salvation, because tomorrow is not promised to anyone. People are crossing over every day, dying every day, in accidents, being shot, being stabbed. All life is being taken from people every single day. Hallelujah. But I hear the Lord saying that if you can believe, all things are possible. If you can believe. You know, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But Jesus comes that we will have life and have it more abundantly. If you want that abundant life today, it's very easy. The Bible said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, or eternal life. It's the same thing. And the Bible said that God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. And if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, remember, the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, A-double-L, you and I, we all sin. Because we got that sin nature from our father and mother in the Garden of Eden. It came from the Garden of Eden, from Adam and Eve, our four parents. But the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's in Romans 6:23. The Bible also said that he said that all souls are mine, but the soul that sinneth shall die. He's talking about spiritual death, and that's in Ezekiel 18:4. You know, the soul that sinneth will die. But he gave you a chance, gave us a chance to have access to life everlasting. And the chance that he gives is through his Son, Jesus Christ. If we would just repent and turn from our wicked ways, and accept Jesus in our life as Lord and Savior, we'll have access. We'll have a chance to have eternal life. Eternal life is waiting for anyone that would repent and turn from their sinful ways and invite Christ into their heart. The Bible says that it's not by works, lest any man should boast. Not for it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. So your works and all the stuff you're doing is not going to get you in. What's going to get you in is believing and obeying in Christ Jesus, what he did at the cross. That's what's going to get you in. Believing what he did on the cross and obeying his commands. He told Joshua, don't deviate from not one of these the laws. Not one. Tell Joshua, you got to follow all the words of the law. So we have to surrender our hearts to Christ Jesus and commit to living for him according to the word. And if for some reason that we come up short, we not go sleep with it. We just go on your knees and ask God to forgive you, and then stop doing it. Don't ask God to forgive you from what you did and then go back and do it again. Because we are saying, I forgive. God going to forgive me. I go do it again. No, don't do that. Don't put God back to the cross. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For Scripture says, whosoever believes in him shall not be ashamed. The Bible says that you must repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Paraphrasing. May not get it all. But let's look at it. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only name whereby man will be saved. If you repent, ask the Lord according to Psalm 51, repent and ask God to come into your heart, he will save you. He will come in and save you. You must first acknowledge that you are a sinner. David acknowledged that he was a sinner, and he asked God to save him, to set him free. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, you just say this little simple prayer that he has given to me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I heard the word today, and I believe that you were crucified at Calvary, a hill called Golgotha, or the skull. It's the same, Calvary. I believe that you died there for my sins, the just for the unjust, the righteous for the unrighteous. And Lord Jesus, I stand in the place as a sinner in need of a Savior. And I'm asking you now, even as I denounce Satan and all of his agents and this world system, all that it stands for, Jesus, I am asking you to forgive me, to have mercy on me, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I invite you now, Jesus, to come into my heart. Sit on the throne of my heart. Be the Lord of my life, my Savior, and my soon coming King. I receive you now and the gift of salvation and the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost, according to Acts 2:38. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me and setting me free. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, if you just said that prayer, you believe it, what you said out of your mouth, you have just received the gift of salvation. Our recommendation that you get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts, so you have a gospel understanding of this Jesus Christ that we teach and preach about every day. And then we want you to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize. And don't get upset, because a lot of people still baptizing according to Matthew 28 and verse 19. People are still baptizing like that, you know. But don't get mad if they say, well, we don't baptize in Jesus' name. You say, well, I'll wait till I get my family and get all my friends together, and we'll get back in touch with you. But at the same time, look for a preacher that you know will baptize in Jesus' name, because it's your salvation. It's your salvation. Okay? And before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. Somebody might say, why your enemies? Because you want them to, you want your enemies to be, see that you have left the walk, the path that you were walking in. You no longer walk in that path. Because they will come back and try to invite you back to the same lifestyle you were living if they don't know. And I knew that when I told you all that one of the fellas that I used to get stoned with him, I tell you that we play Russian roulette one night with a 38 revolver. And I tell God was saving me, because he said, nobody, you don't know with the bullet. And when the gun clicked at my head, it didn't go off. Well, you know it didn't go off because I'm still here. And none of us got shot that night. And we was in a basement on North Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., getting high, smoking cocaine. But none of us got shot with that Russian roulette foolishness. And but I say that to say that they will come back and test you to get you back in the same realm of living that you were in. But now that you invite your friends, family, co-workers, all those you've got a chance to be baptized, you're going down in what we call the liquid grave. And you're making an open declaration or proclamation that you are dying with Christ. You're going down in that grave that Christ went down in. And you're coming up out of that grave that Christ came up out of. And when you come up, you're coming up in Christ. There's a new man, a new creation in Christ. These old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we want you to find a church that is preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved in ministry. You say, but I'm not ready to be a preacher. Well, you don't have to be. Everybody is not going to be behind the desk. Everybody's not going to be behind the hold the desk. But you still can share your testimony. You still can do something in the church. You can pick up trash from around the church. You can clean the bathrooms. You can vacuum the church. You can set the pews. Make a time and say, well, look, one evening I'm going to come down to the church building and I'm going to vacuum the sanctuary. I'm going to clean off the pews. I'm going to wipe down the altar. Do something. Oh, that's ministry. If somebody don't do that in the house, guess what? It will be so much dirt in there, you won't be able to walk. But somebody's doing it every day, and sometimes they don't get the appreciation that they need to get. You could be at the door, be an usher, inviting people. A greeter, meeting people at the door. That's what an usher is, a greeter. Meet them with love, though, because some people at the door, when they come, they look so mean and ornery that you don't even want to go back to that house because they don't have a smile on their face. You come up to them and say, well, if this is the way the people are in this church, this building, I don't want to come back, you know. And I've been to some buildings that were like that, house of worship. And when I get seen people, I don't go back because the people don't even treat you right. They point you to a chair instead of lead you to the pew. That's our ushership. Lead to the pew. You got one at the door, one that will lead you to the pew or to the chair where you sit down. That's showing courtesy, compassion, love. We thank God for those that receive the gift of salvation. Pray that many others will receive the gift at a later date from hearing this uncommon word. The word today was you have been in training all the time. And we are still in training because I'm still being trained to do what God called me to do. I don't have it all done yet. I'm still being trained. Every day I'm being trained. So we're going to, the line, Mother Grant is online. We can invite her to come on in and read her reading. And then we'll open the line. Come on in, Mother Grant. Praise the Lord. Lord,
God bless you. God bless the message you bring forth. And God bless everybody on the line. Thanking him. for waking me up this morning. Thank you. We have a lot of rain and all this thunder here today. But my, they say, faithfulness, God. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God. Keep his covenant of love for a thousand generations of those who love him and keep his commandment. Deuteronomy 7 and 9. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers, which he confirmed to them by oath. Deuteronomy 4 and 31. He remember his covenant forever, the word he command for a thousand generations. Psalms 105 and 8. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Numbers 23 and 19. Let us hold unworthiness to the hope we profess. For he has promised his faithfulness. Hebrews 10 and 23. If we are, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. 2 Timothy 2 and 13. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you. 2 Peter 3 and 9. Praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people, Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the promise he gives. 1 Kings 8 and 56. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done marvelous things, things planned long ago. Isaiah 25 and 1. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forgotten, forsaken those who seek you, Psalms 9 and 10. All your words are truth. All your righteousness, law, are eternal. Psalms 119 and 160. Your words, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness, all generation. Psalms 119, 89, and 90. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. 1 Samuel 15 and 29. For no battle, how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God, 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. I will not violate my covenant or alternate my lips have altered. Psalms 89 and 34. Through the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Isaiah 54 and 10. What I have said, that will I bring above. What I have planned, that will I do. Isaiah 46 and 11. May God add blessing to his word. Amen. Amen. Faithfulness. God. Apostle, Apostle.
Praise the Lord, Mother God. Thank you for that awesome reading. Glory to God. I know Deacon's on the line. It was Apostle Stewart or Sister Anna was on the line. Let it jump off. But also after the message. So we want to open the line up. Deacon, we're coming now. Or if not, we're praying close up. Keep our Apostle and Bishop Washington in your prayers. She should be on tomorrow to Lord say the same, but Bishop has have some things going on, but keep him in prayer. He's doing much better, but keep him in prayer either way. All right? Keep him in prayer. All right, Brother Deacon, I hear you.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Apostle.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Mother Granby.
The Lord, Deacon.
You just thank the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad it is. We just thank God for this 12th day, 20th of July. We just thank the Lord for giving us opportunity to see another day. It's a day that we will never forget. We just thank the Lord how he blessed us more, kept us, and blessed us this morning. And I really truly thank God for what he's doing in my life. I just thank the Lord what he's doing on today. And those that have not arrived, but we're still here. We're still alive and well. He blessed us to see, to open our eyes a bit more. He blessed us to keeping us this morning, those that when we show up, God will show out. And we just thank the Lord what he's doing. We just thank God. And I just thank God on the message what I heard on today about training. And I just thank God that y'all in this thing together. And when we train, I can be trained by the word of God. But it's one thing I heard said in the message. We are to be trained by Christ Jesus. But I know the book of Romans says, even though I have not arrived yet, and if I was on yesterday, and I would sit back and listen at half of the message. And I went back and last night, and I went back and listened yesterday. Wrote a lot of scripture down last night, went back and listened at it. We listened at the message on yesterday, and I wrote a lot of scripture down on, took scriptures down on yesterday as I went back and listened at the message. And there's one thing that I heard on the message on today about training. If someone could train you, you could be trained by the word of God, even like on a job. If someone told you how to, maybe know how to fix a flat, as you are watching a person fix a flat, if you watch him, a person could train you how to fix a flat. You know, even though I didn't know how to, when I first got this job, being in a tie business, I didn't know how to use that gun to put those bolts on the car, because I had watched the person. I watched him how to do it. I watched him on how to do it. I watched the son the way the gun, and he put a bolt. He put those nuts on the rim of the tire. He did tighten them on there because I had watched it. Even that day, I watched a person. I didn't know then until I got used to it. Just like getting on a bouncer. You got to be able to know how to use a bouncer. You got to know which weight to put a weight on a on the tie so the tie could be bounced. You got to know what side, you got to know how to put it on now. You slide a tie on the bouncer, and then you got to, then you got to measure, and then you got to know what size, put a weight on now, and you got to let it touch the button, then you got to punch the button to make it rotate around. I, like right now, I didn't know how to, just right, man. Because he was showing me how to bounce a tie, how to rotate a tie, to rotate around. So he had to wait on the tie, and you had to punch the button, make it punch start, punch the button on there, it'll rotate around, it'll rotate. So it'll rotate around. And then you gotta put another weight on the other side of the tie. And that's when we, it's just like when you train by a person, and when a person bringing the word, you gotta know how a person teach the word of God. If a person, you gotta be trained by that person. It's what a person know how to, if they know the word of God, but we gotta be made sure that we know the word of God. That's when I just thank God that the word went forward today, and I really truly was blessed by the word and what I heard on today, that we all have to be trained by the word of God. So I thank God that what I heard on today was an awesome word of God. And I really thank God for that awesome word and what I heard on today. So may God continue to bless him on the word of what I heard. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Brother Deacon, for that response. And you even put something in there that was so powerful. You talked about your training. That was right on time. That fit right in the message. You know, a lot of people don't know that we all have to be trained, and we got to remain trainable. You know, we have to remain trainable. And that's what a lot of people don't want to do. They want to remain trainable. As soon as they get some, it's the way, you know what, we got this, we got that. I just got a message from Ghana, from the apostle. So far, we raised $240. I still want to raise more money, though. And I help those kids, because those are our kids in Africa. You know, those are our kids. They are African kids. They're not European kids. They are African kids. And they're part of our heritage. You know, some people might say, well, I'm not connected to them because I'm born in America. I'm born in this country. Well, all of them black people came straight from Africa. They weren't here in America. They came from Africa to America. They were brought here. All four parents got here, came to America and came to the Caribbean. They weren't in the Caribbean. They were Arawak Indians in the Caribbean. And there were Arawak Indians here. But they brought the African people from Africa as slaves to build it, to grow their corn, the cotton, the wheat, all their stuff, all the plant their crops and to bake their railroads and build their houses, all that stuff. All four parents did all that stuff, you know. And then sometimes, you know, a lot of African people, American people here, they ostracize themselves. They don't want to connect themselves with Africa. You know, I say, well, I'm not an African, I'm American. Well, your ancestor is, you got African blood. You got African blood. It's in your veins. You go right back down through the generations, you go all the way back, you'll see that your all four parents here came from that were here before us. They came from Africa. In the Bahamas, in the Caribbean, your four parents came from Africa. Like where they came from, they came down on the slave ship. That means many died. Many didn't reach the Caribbean. Many didn't reach the Africa. Some died, and they threw them overboard for the sharks. Hear what I'm telling you. They didn't bury them. They threw them overboard for the sharks. Yeah, hear what I'm telling you? This is real. So if we get a chance to help our sisters or niece and nephews that are still there in Africa now, we got to help them. I'm not rich. We're not rich. We retired. A little bit of money I get from my retirement, it's nothing. Just pay the bills. That's why now I'm back over here now doing a little bit of work from time. Not too much to hurt myself, but a little bit. Hawaii tell me so. I got a job now that is a job there is about $20,000 in there. My wife told me don't take the job. And the man waited for me to do the job, you know. But it's a big job. So, but I ain't even going to look at it. Nate look at it when it come back. If he ain't had it done already, but had it started, because it's remodeling the whole house they're doing. I have to put a new, they need new furnace, new air conditioner, all that stuff. I got to go look at it and see. But either way, we'll deal with that if it's not taken care of. And I got to call this other lady about this job that I need to finish. And she sent me a text just now, but I don't want to start that and then go away tired. I don't want to go to Louisiana and all tired up and all this stuff, you know. So we'll see. So we thank God and praise God for you all to come on today, and we pray for Apostle and Bishop this morning, for Apostle Millie and all those. We pray for you all, Mother Grant. We thank God for you, for your faithfulness. Thank God for your children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. We pray God continue to bless you, and God continue to open doors for you that no one can close, and close doors that no one can open. Pray that God would protect you when you go out, and he will protect you when you come in. Pray that God be a shield and a strong tower to you in everything that you do, that God meet your every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So nobody want to share. We're going to close out. Father God, we just thank you and praise you, O God. We praise you, O God, for all that you have done, all that you are doing, all that you would do. O God, we just thank you for how you're watching over us, how you're keeping us, how you're shielding us. Thank you for that response from the reading for Mother Grant, and thank you for the response from Brother Deacon Fraser, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that he's always willing when he gets a chance to share a word, to pray a word, to sing a word, preach a word. Lord, he's always willing to do something. We ask, God, that you keep him safe on that job. And, Lord, keep his mother safe, Lord. We ask you to protect her, heal her. Lord, even with these new viruses that are going around, Lord, we ask you to protect us. Even as we travel to Louisiana on Saturday, Lord, we ask for your traveling mercy in the ear and keeping mercy when we're on the ground, Lord. Lord, let no hurt, harm, or danger befall us, Lord. But we ask for your protection. Ask for your shield. Put a hedge of protection around us, O God, that no hurt, harm, or danger will befall us, that we'll be able to do what you call us to do and return home to our family safe and secure. Lord, we just thank you right now. We praise you right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you. Father, we leave this line today, Lord, knowing that you're able to bless us in the city, bless us in the field. Bless us when we come and bless us when we go. God, that you continue to make us a head and not a tail. That you set us above and not beneath. Father, that you continue to make us the lenders and not the borrowers. Oh, God, we are praying that the blessing will come so that we can be. Every time they tell us that the money's right here, that's there. It's already in the bank that we're going to get the call any day. But it seems like the day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. But, Father, we are calling on you to cause this money to be released, oh, God, so that we can help the widows, the fathers, the mothers, the homeless, and the orphans, oh God. God, if we had the money right now, we could do more for Africa. We could do more for India, for China, for Japan, for Pakistan, Iraq, Iran, even here for the Caribbean, for here in America, for Canada, Lord. We can do more. We could do more, Lord Jesus. But the rich is getting rich and the poor is getting poor, Lord. We thank you for all those that give to help our Ghana. And, Lord, we thank you for the rest, others that are going to give a $5, $10, $15, $20, so that we can get all the beds that we need for those kids, that they don't have to sleep on the wet ground. Lord, we are so careful to give you glory and honor. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. Thank you all so much. Thank you all so much for being here with us. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember that if tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak today in someone's ear that would make all the difference in their life. It'll stop someone from committing suicide. Stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said it this way. He said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And that just means that, oh, just look at Jesus' lifestyle. Look at his characteristics as a man, God in the flesh, and see how he treat people, even the ones that hang him on the cross. He was still saying, Father, forgive them for they know not what they have done. So what are you saying? That even when people are talking bad about us, when they're treating us bad, when they're mistreating us and abusing us, we still have to show love and kindness. We have to not go to eat with them, not go to the movies with them, but we still got to show that we love and that we forgive them in spite of how they treat us and in spite of how they abuse us. And then the world will know that we belong to God because we're allowing our light to shine in this darkened world. I love you guys so much, but remember, God loves you more. God bless you all. Have a blessed evening. I'm going to go in here and relax with my family. Because, you know, I got to spend some time with them since I'm going away this weekend. I didn't know it was so quick, but it's this Saturday. I'll be heading out to Louisiana. And have a day. And Sunday morning, we'll go to church with the folk. And we're going to have a good time in Louisiana, though. We're going to have a good time. We already had a good time before. We have a better time. We can have a better time this time. Glory to God. God bless you all. Have a safe evening if you're traveling. If you're not traveling, still have a safe day. God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye. God bless.
God bless, Brother Deacon. Mother Grant, God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Hello.
The customer you're trying to reach is unavailable. Announcement number one. The customer you're trying to reach is unavailable. Announcement number one.